Argument, United States versus Calvin, Mr. Beal.
May it please the court. The issue in this case is whether guideline section 2X1.1 is applicable to this fraud case. The government's position is that when a posting, an electronic posting, was made, that the fraud was complete. But we submit that for sentencing purposes, the scheme that was being executed here was not complete until money was received. The purpose of the scheme was to make money, and the government's position may be correct that the elements of the offense had been met at that point, but we submit that the scheme in fact was not complete.
I understand that the sentence based on intended loss, right?
The sentence is based on the combination of the actual loss and the intended loss.
So what more do you need? I don't understand.
Well, the question is whether the defendant's entitled to a three-point reduction for the intended loss portion of the offense, and because for the intended loss, there no one actually suffered any loss. And we think that the fairest reading of the guideline would call for that. We think the sentence is disproportionate to the harm. And most importantly, we submit that this results in an inconsistent application of the guidelines. Theft offenses are eligible for this, for a three-point reduction, partially completed thefts. That's clear from the example in the guideline and from Seventh Circuit cases like Lamb. More importantly, the guideline is also applicable to conspiracy cases. The 11th Circuit applied it in two money laundering conspiracy cases. The Second Circuit applied it in a conspiracy to defraud the IRS. And most importantly, the Fourth Circuit applied it in a conspiracy to engage in fraud. A conspiracy is complete when the agreement is reached and any overt act is effected. There's no difference between that and the fraud situation. So it's unfair to have the 3-point reduction for a conspiracy, but not for fraud offense. My client's mistake was not having a partner in crime. There had been two of them, they'd been charged with conspiracy to defraud, she'd get the 3-point reduction. Because she did it by herself, she's not. And that's an unfair.
Well, you could have two people, each charged with mail or wire fraud.
You could, but they could also charge it as a conspiracy, as the Fourth Circuit in United States versus Mann.
Well, but they might or they mightn't, and they didn't hear, so I don't know what.
That's correct. They didn't hear, but by not allowing the 3-point reduction here, you create a situation where you have an inconsistent application of the guidelines depending on whether they charge conspiracy or theft or fraud. And that's fundamentally unfair, and it results in disproportionate sentences. And the sentence here was over the statutory maximum for the offense. It wasn't an illegal sentence, but it was 63 months in a where fraud has a 5-year statutory maximum. So,
but you don't have a partially completed offense here. You have a fully completed offense. That's what the scheme to defraud is.
It depends on how you think of the word completed. It's absolutely correct that there is.
That's a completed offense, right? But you're not interrupted. It's not an interruption case, is it?
Well, there were the intended conduct was in effect. And interrupted. She had postings the intended conduct is based on postings where there were no sale.
No, there are two different things. In one, you're engaged in some sort of conduct, and you were going to do something else, and you were interrupted. That's the partially completed offense. In another situation, you've completed the offense, and you wanted to, you know, inflict a large loss, but for some reason, you know, that didn't happen. That's quite, aren't those different situations?
Well, I would submit for the actual loss, you have a completed offense. But where you bring in the intended loss concept, for that, she posted additional, in this case, plasma TVs. They weren't sold, but yet she's being penalized for them.
I mean, well, she intended to commit it.
Yes, that's correct. She,
right.
She tried to sell them, but
she did everything she could do to,
well,
do it.
Your Honor,
but she didn't collect all of it. That's what she's upset about.
Your Honor, with all respect, I would suggest that everything she didn't do everything.
She had the intent to defraud. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, she participated in a scheme to defraud, didn't she?
Yes.
All right. She used the mails interstate to defraud, didn't
yes,
she?
That's correct.
All right. What other elements does she have to have? That's the completed crime.
Those are the elements. But for our position is for sentencing purposes, because they're not bringing in, they're going beyond the sales that actually took place as a part of the scheme.
Yes, but the sales, that's not part of the scheme.
That's not
the
scheme.
Suppose I offered, I say I have 1,000 perpetual motion machines for sale, and I advertise them, and only 300 people buy my perpetual motion machines. But if all 1,000 had been bought, you know, the actual loss would have been more than three times larger. The scheme is complete. The loss is a combination of actual intended, because the scheme was not as successful as I had hoped it to be. But there's a difference between a scheme, which is not entirely successful, and a scheme that's interrupted.
Yes, that's true.
That's the distinction you refuse to recognize, even though it's quite clear in the guidelines.
Well, the guidelines can be interpreted.
Right, the offense can be completed. You do everything you were planning to. The criminal does everything she was planning to do. Everything, but the amount of the loss depends not only on what she has done, but on how the victims react.
Well, the negotiations and other activities for the additional plasma TVs weren't completed, so she could have, if things had continued, she would have engaged in additional conduct that might or might not have resulted in additional sales. After all, only two plasma TVs were actually sold as a part of this case, and the $493,000 intended conduct.
Yeah,
is
but the crime is the scheme. The crime is not the implementation; it's the scheme.
Those are that's right. The statutory elements are. The have been proof of them has been
once the statutory elements are fulfilled, the crime is complete and it's no longer a partially completed offense.
There are many cases that hold that.
There are no cases that hold the contrary.
In the context of a fraud
no,
case,
there
that's
are
right.
None. There are none.
Right.
And there's a good reason for that. It's a different offense.
But it's not. But it results in a sentence that's disproportionate
no,
to the harm that's caused.
No, it's not disproportionate at all. What's disproportionate about it?
The actual harm caused in this case was $127,000.
Yes, but look, intended loss is punished.
But all that I'm saying is, it should not be punished quite as
yes,
severely as actual loss.
Yes, punished because she was not interrupted in her offense activity. It was not like an attempt. It was completed crime with the amount of the loss, I say, depending on how victims would respond to the fraud.
Right.
Which
but she,
is always true.
She would not have sold $493,000 worth of additional plasma television. She only sold two during the whole
so
scheme.
So what?
Well, that
you can have dumb schemes that where the actual loss is a tiny fraction of the intended loss. you're still punished for the intended loss.
But yes, you're punished, but our point is simple. You shouldn't be punished as severely.
No, you should be punished.
Well, we disagree.
That's the whole theory of punishing intended loss. Intended loss is punishable.
The only place we disagree is whether it should be punished.
Of your situation would never be punished.
No, it would never be punished. It should be
because
punished.
It would always be a case of incomplete offense because it hadn't resulted in a realization of the entire intended loss.
My position is simply that the intended loss portion should be less severely punished.
But there is no general less severely punished under the guidelines. There's just that 2X1 or whatever it is for a partially completed offense. A small exception, inapplicable when the offense is completed. That's just what it says.
Yes, just the final thing I would say is simply that partially completed, I submit, should be interpreted for sentencing purposes more colloquially than the technical issue of the elements of the offense having been met, which I obviously haven't convinced you.
Thank you, Mr. Beale. Mr. Hayes?
Thank you, Judge.
I'm going to send that to the parole board.
May it please the court, my name is Brian Hayes. I represent the United States, and I also represent the United States in the hearing below in the district court. It's apparent to me from the questioning here that the court's understanding of the applicable law here is consistent with the position that we put forward in our reply to the appeal. I think it's clear that this was not a partially completed offense. The judge found that was the case beyond a reasonable doubt, and the sentence should be affirmed. Unless you have any questions, I will go ahead and sit down.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Hayes, and thank you to Mr. Beale. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we very much appreciate your vigorous efforts on behalf of the client. Next case.